Well, Mother's Day is certainly a great day. It's an exciting day. It was fun to see everyone up here, see the little kids, see the graduates, see Garston, wow, in the uniform, all done with the basic and moving on and those things. Great to see how God works in the lives of our children. And we in particular have been asking the question for the last several weeks, where do I find answers to my most important questions? We've been looking at the Word of God, looking at the things the Bible teaches us, and I thought maybe as we did that, we should ask the question, where do I find answers? Well, how about Mom? I know every other time I've had this slide, it said, how about the Bible? But I thought today it might be interesting to say, how about Mom? You know, there's a verse that speaks to the amazing power of Scripture. And I was reading it actually in preparation for our study on the Word of God. And I don't know why, as I read it, I kind of thought it did apply to Mom. It says, let us therefore strive to enter into rest, that no one may fall by disobedience. For the Word of God, and you know, with no disrespect, I thought, the Word of Mom comes close here. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces to the division of the soul and spirit, even the joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I thought, well, that's Mom. You know, it's the Word of God, but it's amazing how moms can get in and discern those thoughts and intentions of the hearts, and they just seem to be able to pierce right into to know what that child is thinking and how that child is going to respond. So I thought it might be interesting today to honor Mother's Day by saying, it's Mother's Day, so let's listen to your mother today. Now, this is kind of an interactive moment. And so we're going to put up some of the things that moms say. At least my mom said, and some other moms I've known have said. I want to see if your mom said it. And the way we'll know is if you can finish the sentence, then we know that your mom actually said these things. Yeah. Are we good with that? I think the first one's pretty good. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You see, moms everywhere, and you all knew it. And now you know how it works. So don't cross your eyes. They'll get stuck that way. My mom said that. What about a little soap and water? Never killed anybody. At least not that we know of right now. Another one from Mom. If I've told you once, a thousand times, and none of us ever listened, did we? As long as you live under my roof, you'll live under my rules. How do you know you don't like it? You haven't even tried it, you know? Anybody missed one yet? I'm just curious. I mean, you know, it's... Wow, moms, they're just amazing. Oh, yeah, quit crying or... You know what's really funny? Some of the moms with young kids right now are actually putting their heads down and hiding. Like, oh, yeah, I said that. My mom said that. I said that, you know. If you're too sick to go to school... You know, there's a whole lot of variations on this one. Too sick to play, too sick to watch TV, too sick to play video games. You know, it's going to be out there somewhere, but, you know, it's if you're too sick to go to school, you don't think you're going to have any fun today. I won't always be around. Where? Somebody got it. To pick up, clean up after you. There's the comment, right? I won't always be around to clean up after you. You know, that was... My mom said that one a lot. I don't know. I don't care what everybody else does. If everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you? We've all had that one. No, you can't have a BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out. There it is. My dad stuck that one by. I think it was my 12th birthday. I finally got my BB gun. I don't remember. Go to your room and think about what you did. I don't care who started it. You stop it or you finish it. Now, Kimberly had a different one down here, but I heard you. I don't care who else started. I heard you. Yeah, that mom's voice. I like that one. That was a good one. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it has been. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, always wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And as one comedian once said, I thought that's what an accident was. No, the word of mom and how effective it can be. And we all heard it. I mean, there were like 20 of those, and we all heard them all. We've all had those experiences, and some of us have even actually said them. And, you know, for all the joking that's in there, they do guide us. They do remind us of priorities and values. Those sayings come back, and we do think, you know, no, I'm not going to do it just because everybody did it. And, yes, it doesn't matter who started it. I can do something to bring it to an end. And those momisms, they work on us, and they stay with us, and they guide us, and they're great. And if that's true of our moms, if moms speak clearly in a way that we can understand, then how much more can we get from the Bible? Where do I find answers to my most important questions? Yeah, I do. I find them from mom, and you know, we find them from dad too, and good teachers that speak into our lives, and yet moms fail and dads fail and great teachers fail. And in the end, when mom's not around, when mom can't give us the answers and we need them, where do we go? Well, how about the Bible? And that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, is we've been talking about how the Bible speaks to our lives, our real practical everyday lives, and can we trust it? This is what we understand the Bible does. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. If we let Scripture really enter our soul, if we meditate on it and allow the truth that is there to shape our thinking and inform our decisions to literally be our guide in life, we have extraordinary confidence that not only will we get through life doing better than we would on our own, but we please the eternal, transcendent, omnipotent, omniscient, loving God of the universe. We know how important it is to please mom. You know how much it matters when mom comes up and says, good job, well done. Just think for a moment what will happen when we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, someday. This is what we understand the Bible is. For those of us who hold this book, who recognize that it comes to us from God, we believe that the Bible, the Holy Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, were inspired by God, was without error in the original manuscripts, and is the authority for the believer's faith and life. That's our statement of truth. That's what we're hanging on as we go forward. So we've been looking at some of the questions about inspiration. We've said the Bible is inspired, and what that means is that the Bible literally comes from God. The Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This is not just some group of ideas that came down to us through the centuries from good people or wise people. This is literally a book breathed out by God. And what is in it is therefore trustworthy. We believe it is without error. It is true because, as we know, God is not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should change his mind. God is constant. God is faithful. God is true. And therefore, the Word of God is true because, as we just said, the Bible is inspired by God. It is the Word of God, and God cannot lie or be in error, and therefore God's Word cannot lie or be in error. That's what we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, this idea of the inspiration and the inerrancy of the Word of God, which is given to us. We gave some of the reasons why we believe in that, some of the evidences of that that come through history and science. This is what the Bible says and why we understand to be without error. It says, sanctify those who you have given me. This is Christ praying in John 17. He goes, in the truth, and your word is truth. God wants us set apart. He wants us different than the people around us who don't have the truth, the people around us who live only in the wisdom of the world. And the way that God sets us apart and makes us different, and frankly, I would believe makes us better, makes us stronger, makes us more capable, makes us able to function in the world that he created us for, the way he created us. That all happens, excuse me, when his word dwells in us. We are set apart by his word because his word is truth. Inspired, without error, and finally we've suggested it is the authority. It is the authority. Now when we come to that, and we say, is the Bible really the authority in my life? We know what it is to have an authority like mom. We know what it is to have an authority like a boss. The classic mom statement, you know, is you do it because I told you to. And we recognize that's an authority. Do we really come to the Bible and understand that it is the authority in our lives? Well, if we're going to do that, there's usually a question we come to wrestle with. And that's, why do so many see the evidence of the Bible's truth or veracity and still don't believe it? Why don't they recognize it? And sometimes, why don't we? And the issue is because there's something about the Bible that is very, very special, but very different than anything else. That is that the Bible is self-authenticating. And what we really mean by that is the truth of the Bible becomes real to us when we are in tune with the Bible, and that happens because we have this thing called the Holy Spirit. We are convinced of the truth of the Bible not by the evidence, but by God himself as we read the Bible. That happens in the form of the Holy Spirit. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, Paul would write, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It is this interplay between the Spirit of God, which we understand indwells all people of faith, that unlocks the Bible and really allows its power to permeate through us. A person who does not know Christ can read the words of the Bible, but for the Bible to be unlocked, for that authority to really be released in our lives, it happens when we have trusted Christ. His Spirit has filled us in that act of setting us apart and sealing us that we call the baptism of the Spirit, the identity of the Spirit in us, and that Spirit now works with our spirit. And these things that are in the Bible that we read now become revealed to us. And the truth and the authority resonates in us. And that's when we can really start to set apart those people who truly know and trust God from those who only know about God. It's evident often in how they approach, read, understand, and apply the Bible. I think it's very, very hard for anyone who has truly come to faith to deny the authority of the Word of God. Because that Spirit working in us convicts us. That Spirit working in us lets that truth resonate with us in a way that we actually have to work to deny. I'm going to really challenge us a bit here because I do believe that if you can just read the Bible and it not mean anything to you, if you can read the Bible and seemingly ignore it in your life, if it doesn't do what we were reading about in Hebrews earlier and we were kind of teasing about mom, but if it doesn't pierce into you, if it doesn't divide your thinking, if it doesn't separate you from what is right and wrong, if it doesn't get into the thought and intent of your heart and shape you, that's not because the Bible isn't true. It's because something is missing in your spirit. And it may be the Spirit of God speaking to you. This idea of being in the Word and letting its truth and its authority rule over us is actually one of the marks that we really are the children of God. And if we're honest, we sense that even on a day like this. For those of us that did have the great privilege of a caring and a loving parent, when that parent spoke to us, when we knew they had our best interest at heart, even when we disagreed with them, we had this sense of wanting to please them. We had this sense of wanting to trust them. We had this sense of listening to what they said. And sometimes it shaped us in ways we didn't expect because of that relationship. That's what happens when someone really gets into the Word of God, and that Spirit of God begins to work in their hearts and to unlock the truth and to divide into those innermost parts and to separate the thoughts and intentions and to guide us in the way that we should go. That's when those commandments become that light to our path. And so we understand the authority of the Word of God is not just this idea of a higher law that commands us, but we actually understand that it is a driving truth that inspires us and instills us. It's that kind of an authority. It's not just a rigid law, it is an inspiring truth and becomes the purpose and the principle of our lives when we really put ourselves in that relationship with the Spirit of God. The natural person does not understand or accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. And that's why I say, be careful. If you find that the Spirit of God does not work the truth of God to inspire your life to live for God, you have to say, am I just a natural man? Am I a natural person who does not accept? Am I a natural person who can write these things off as folly? Because I want to tell you, the spiritual person cannot call the Word of God folly. The Spirit won't let them do that. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That was Paul's real instruction about the nature of the Word of God. But what do we do then when we say the Bible seems so hard to understand? And there are days when I think we've all faced pieces of it like that, and we've come across some part of Scripture. We say, but I've wrestled with that, and I don't quite know what to do with it. And how does that apply to my life? And I'm not sure I get it. Does that mean I'm not being led by the Spirit? Does that mean I'm not really resonating? Well, I think what we do have to come to a reality to see is that none of us are spiritually or fully mature. None of us have spiritually arrived. So yes, there will always be places that we are struggling. In fact, the Bible is there to help us grow. And we will not know it all immediately. We will not have a full understanding on day one. That's the work of the Spirit that is working in us to grow and develop us. But certainly we should sense its truth. And there are parts of the Bible, much of the Bible, that are very, very apparent and that we understand very quickly. So no, if we come across things that we don't immediately understand, that doesn't mean that we're not believers or we're not resonating with the Spirit. It may mean we just haven't grown in that area. We haven't come to full understanding yet. But it's that idea of the whole Bible, and that when we come to it, we know that the truth is there, and those things that are clear and are easy to understand, we not only recognize, but we apply in our lives. So how do we respond when the Bible seems hard to understand? And more than that, when I do come across something in the Scripture and I've worked to know it, how do I know I've got it right? That's a question I think all of us wrestle with. And I want to talk to you about an idea that is in Scripture and that we who have worked with Scripture have kind of wrestled with and come up with, and it's this, that the Bible is... Anybody know that word? Okay, let me give you another word that you might know. How many know the word conspicuous? Okay, really, only four of you? How many know the word conspicuous? Okay, conspicuous. Anybody want to give me an idea of what conspicuous means? Obvious, clear, something you can see. Actually, the word conspicuous has the idea of being visible, being immediately visible, being clearly visible, being obvious. Well, this is a related word, and it's called perspicuous. And it's not a word we hear very often at all. In fact, I really don't really expect you to remember it much after today. But in theological terms, it's become a word that we use, and I just had to put it up there so that you know I really did go to seminary, and I didn't waste all that money and time for nothing. But the word perspicuous is related to the word conspicuous, and perspicuous doesn't mean it's necessarily obvious and visible in the same way, but it does mean it's presented clearly. Now, you see there's a difference there. It's presented clearly. It may not be received clearly. You wives know what that's about. You present everything clearly, and your husbands. So anyway, that means that you're perspicuous, wives. You present it clearly. Whether he gets it or not, that's a discussion for Father's Day. But we say the Bible is perspicuous, and what we mean by that is that it's clear and understandable. Now, at first you may say, well, not to me always, you know, clear and understandable. Let me put that in a little better context here that might help you. This is called the perspicuity of Scripture. The perspicuity of Scripture, or here's the word we'll use and understand. It's the clarity of Scripture. What we understand the Bible to be is a book that can be understood by everyone. Notice what you mean, the Bible speaks clearly. God wrote the Bible in such a way that it is clear and can be understood by everyone just as it is. You don't have to have something else to come alongside in order to read the Bible. This is what Scripture says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I actually thought of making that my life verse for a while. Because, boy, there are days when I definitely need wisdom brought down to my level. And I am so thankful that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There is no one that cannot benefit from the clear truth of Scripture. It is not reserved for some higher echelon of intellect or some higher echelon of spirituality or some higher echelon of social order or some higher echelon of economic achievement. The Bible is available to everyone. And it can be understood by everyone. Do to others as you want them to do to you. That doesn't take some great interpretive mediatorial genius. Do not kill. Do not lie. Do not covet what your neighbor has. These are truths that are readily available and that even a child can understand. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but will have eternal life. Now, we can talk a lot about how that happens, and we can get into great cosmological discussions about what the world is and how God's love permeates and what the responses are that activate all those. And yet, the simple truth is there and easily understood. God loves us, and believing in Jesus activates that love for eternity. It's not hard to grasp. God wrote the Bible in a way that even the simple can understand. As for you, continue in what you have learned, the psalmist says. And how from childhood you have been, I forgot to carry this over. This is from 2 Timothy. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, I obviously forgot to change the slide format, and I brought over the Psalm 19 passage. And this is, of course, 2 Timothy. But what we have here is, as Paul teaches and writes to Timothy, he is aware that Timothy was taught these things as a child growing up and understood them. And he reminds him to continue in what he already learned. You know, we at Washington Heights really do love the kids. And yeah, I know it's great up here to see them singing and to see them do Roses Are Red and Mom, I Love You and all of that. That's great to see. But you know what's really better to see is what's going on right now. When we have people who are dedicated to opening the Word of God and teaching those children. What goes on, you know, in Awana. It's what goes on at halftime at Upward. It's what goes on in just a few weeks in Bible school. We put a lot of time and energy and resources into teaching children because we know that the Word of God is available and can be understood by a child. You know, Lord willing, next week we're going to have an exciting time that we do each year at this church. We have all kinds of families, and we have children who grew up in those families, and they start, you know, we just did a baby dedication last week, and these children grew up. And the question comes when they're raised in the church, when do we really start to look at them and say, what do you think? What do you know? What do you believe? And we've just found as a good practice that somewhere around, you know, 9, 10, 11, right in there, somewhere that we call junior years, that's when we start to talk with them personally like that. And I see Wally over here. Wally has taught our junior class for how many years, Wally? I don't know now. Say that again? Since 1990. Wow. Somebody do the math for me. I think that's 28 years, right? That's pretty special. Wally has been teaching these juniors. And you know what is really fun to do? It's fun to sit down with them and ask them what they know and believe. I had the privilege yesterday of sitting down with one of our young 10-year-old ladies and having her tell me, you know, that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again to pay for her sins. And I looked and I said, well, you don't ever do anything wrong, do you? And she just giggled. You know? And she understood that. And then she also understood that this principle, this ritual of baptism, shows the world what we believe, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll gather together and we'll see. I think it's 14 of our young people who have come forward and taken the class that Wally teaches and asked to be baptized and given that testimony in front of two really scary deacons. You know, this Word of God can be understood. And we invest in children because we know that they can understand it. Sometimes they understand it better than we do because they don't have all of life's issues acting as a pre-filter, getting in the way of the clear and simple truth that God has given us. This is a truth story. When Wendy and I were working in Chicago, we were pastoring a church there that was a church plant, and we didn't have people. We didn't have resources. You know, we didn't have, I'm looking at Emily here and getting ready for Bible school, and she's already putting together. I watch the people come in and help out. We get hundreds of people who get involved in building the sets and in teaching the classes and in organizing the games and in, you know, providing the snacks. And it's tremendous to see that. Well, we didn't have that when we were doing a church plant. You know, when we started, we had 12 people. And we were trying to do things. And we finally got a little past that, and we had a combined all-ages children's class because there were, like, only, you know, 8 kids between, you know, first and sixth grade at that time. We had this family who'd come to the church, and there was this wonderful lady who came in, and she was a brand-new believer. And she came, and she was talking to me, and she said, you know, I want to learn the Bible. I want to grow in my faith. What can I do? I said, are you serious? And she goes, yeah, what can I do? I said, teach our children's class. She's like, what? She goes, I don't know anything yet. I said, that's fine. You only have to be 1 week ahead of them. And she, I said, here's the curriculum. And she was good with the kids, and she was a good teacher. Here's the curriculum. Go and teach. And, you know, I'm serious. In less than 2 years, she was better discipled than almost any person I know. Because, you know, she'd start out with that Bible story that she'd never read herself before. And she'd be literally 1 week ahead of them in the curriculum. And she was now going to teach, you know, Joshua and the battle of Jericho, or she was going to teach Jonah and the great fisher. And so she starts reading and studying and doing, you know, and she's like, and she'd call me, she'd say, did you know? Did you know it doesn't say whale, it says great fish? And we, I knew that. Wow, she goes, God can do anything. I said, yeah, he really can. You know, and why? Because in teaching children the clarity and the simplicity and the truth of the scripture was right there on the surface. And as she worked through that curriculum teaching kids, the power and the truth and the authority of scripture took hold of her life. Now, this is the commandment that the Lord your God commanded me to teach, that you may do them in the land in which you're going over to possess. Come on, there we go. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is what's called the Shema in Jewish tradition. This is the heart of how the Jewish people understood the Old Testament. And I'm talking about things like Deuteronomy and Chronicles. And they said, all of this is profitable. And it's profitable for what? It's profitable for everyday life. And by the way, is it only the priests that have it? No, everybody had it. You were to have this as part of your life. It was to be with you when you walked in the way. You were to teach it diligently to your children. It was to be like you had it wrapped around your hands and tied around your forehead. It was to be with every person, every day, in everything that they did, because the Bible was that practical and the Bible was that life-oriented. The Bible is not something to be put under a glass case or set up on a shelf or, truly, God forbid, left to preachers alone to study. The Bible is for everyone, and that's how it was understood from the very beginning. It was to be given to everyone, taught to children, available at a moment's notice, wherever you were on your way through life. The scriptures are intended for everyone. That's you. That's me. That's your senior parent and your newborn infant. You know, they talk about how important it is to sing songs to your child even in the womb. They talk about how important it is to talk to your children even before they're born so they know your voice and they connect with you as a person. Have you thought how important it might be to read scripture while you're pregnant, and have that child not just hear your voice, but hear your voice sharing God's words, even as they're developing? We talk about, you know, those times when you're putting your kids to bed and you tell them stories and sing them songs. My mom and dad used to read from that children's Bible storybook to me, that children's Bible. And it got to me young, and it shaped me early. That's the reality. It's for everyone, and it's for every day. It's not just Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30 or 6 o'clock or whenever. It's not just for your home group, whatever time you meet. It's not just for your Bible study. It's to be with you through the day. See, and that's when the Bible really becomes your authority, not just your reference point. It's when through the day, the Bible is what's shaping every choice, every decision, every event. You're looking there first for those truths, those teachings, those foundational principles, those guide points, those directors along the way. And you're allowing it to guide your path, not just your path to church. Not even just your path to God, but your path to work and your path to your neighbors and your path to your family and your path to your friends. That's what the Bible is. And Paul would say it this way. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And this is just one I picked up. You look at so many of the teachings of Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, those letters are written to everyone. They're written to all the saints. They're written to all the churches. And in fact, later in this same book, Paul would say, and when this letter has been read among you, have it also read to the church of the Laodiceans. Pass it on. Just because it says Colossians on the heaven, on the heading, don't think that it's to be limited there. When you're done with it, see that everybody else gets it too. Paul understood that these words that God was giving him were for everyone, and they should be shared. You see, what does that really mean about my understanding of the Bible? Well, it means this. To understand the Bible, you do not need a special teacher. You don't have to have a pastor or a priest or an intermediary or a person on the radio. You don't have to have a Ryrie or a Jeremiah or a MacArthur study Bible. You don't have to have this person who teaches you the Bible. All you have to have is the Bible because it's clear enough. Oh, teachers can give us a little more background. They can perhaps highlight things in a slightly different way. Maybe you can get there a little faster because they can pull it together and you know, package it a little bit better in some ways, a little easier. That's true. But you don't need them. Hear me when I say that. And if you think that you have to become dependent on a teacher, you actually now are putting the teacher in the position of authority and not the Bible itself, and that should never be. I remember one time being with Alistair Begg, the pastor up in Cleveland that many of us know. And, you know, Alistair's got that great, you know, Scottish accent that I think that's probably worth at least 1,000 people in his attendance. I don't know. But, you know, I remember him being there, and he spoke in that way, and he goes, "Gentlemen, we must come to the text with a spirit of agnosticism." I went, "Agnosticism? I thought that was a bad thing." But he said, you know, you have to come to the Bible like you don't know what you're going to find. You have to come letting the Bible speak to you, letting the Bible inform you, letting the Bible surprise you. And that happens when we sometimes get the teachers out of the way. It's not what Jeremiah says or MacArthur says or Ryrie says or whatever study Bible you've got. Sorry, Rachel, I'm not trying to take business away. Rachel works over at Lifeway and she sells all those Bibles, but I'm not trying to take business away, but you know, it's not all those study Bibles that make the difference. The Bible can be known just exactly as it is. You don't need a special education. Don't tell my wife that. Seminary costs too much. But you don't need a special education. Yes, there are things that sometimes I can get to quicker, or maybe I can give a little more background to because of Greek and Hebrew and church history and, you know, all. But you don't need it because the Bible itself is right there and you can read it. And it's clear and it's understandable. You don't need a special language. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew. You don't have to have some special spiritual language, you know, that comes to you, you know, in a miraculous way and then suddenly, you know, it's revealed to you. There are religions who talk about that. There are religions that say, you know, you can't actually read the sacred texts until you're gifted with this miraculous language. You don't need a special method. You don't have to go and learn how to do this with history and how to do this with poetry and how to. Those things can be helpful, but you don't need any of them. That's what we mean by the clarity of Scripture. We mean the Bible is all you need. And while all these other things can sometimes be helpful, not one of them speaks the truth except the Bible itself. All anything else does is help us get there, maybe just a little quicker, or maybe just a little easier because somebody else did some digging for us. You don't need a special device. You know, there are faiths that teach that you had to have some special device. Probably the most well-known one is that you had to have this pair of special golden glasses to read the texts before you could know what they said. And it's like, really? There's nothing about that in the Bible. No angel has to come and give you special glasses. There is no special iPad app. You know. The Bible stands on its own. And that's what we mean when we talk about the perspicuity of the Scripture. We mean that the Bible is clear and understandable to everyone at any time. This is one of those powerful statements in Scripture that lets us know just how the Bible understands its own use. Paul had been going around teaching, and he came to the place in Berea. He said, now these Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word of God with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If what things were so? If the things the Apostle Paul was telling them were so. Have you ever thought about that for just a minute? Here comes Paul. Let's just start with trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He had the PhD from the Harvard of his day. He was as well schooled in the Scriptures as any person could be in his day and age. On top of that, he'd had this amazing encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and the light and the voice and all of that, following which he'd spent 3 years on the backside of the desert doing his post-grad studies, doing getting everything now aligned with his new understanding and putting it all together. And then he'd been set out with the power of the Holy Spirit and done all these miraculous things as the word of God went from city to city and place to place in his missionary journeys. This was Paul. And he gets to this little city in Greece called Berea. And he sits down and he goes, let me share with you the truth of God's word. And they said, okay, Paul, that was good. That was interesting. Give me just a few minutes and I'll check you out. Even Paul did not stand above simply taking the Scriptures and reading it and making sure that whatever Paul said matched the clear, simple truth. It was printed in the Word. We often get ourselves out of sorts with God because we overthink and overwork the simple clarity of the Scripture. I'm going to say something, and some people will go, do you really mean that? Yeah, I really do. You guys are gracious, and you sit here and you listen to me babble. By the way, I was listening to now it's going to go out of my head, Matt Chandler from Village Church down in Dallas. I was listening to Matt Chandler, and it was so encouraging because he said, I have a 50-minute clock. I thought, wow, he's 5 minutes longer than me. But, I've kind of got a 45-minute clock. You guys come in and you listen to me as I teach and I talk and we go through these things, and I appreciate it so much. I do. But if you said, Dave, I'm going to read the text for 45 minutes, I'd say that's better. Now, I do think we need to gather together. I do think we need to worship together. I do think it's important for the body to be together. I'm not saying we shouldn't do this. But you say, what's more important, listening to Kistner teach or actually reading the text? It's reading the text. Listening to one more radio preacher teach or reading the text? It's reading the text. If you haven't read the Bible before you come in to hear the teaching, well, I'm sorry, you're not prepared for class. Because it's not my teaching that in the end makes the difference or gives you the truth or provides the authority or has the power to save you. But this book does all of those things. Why are we so excited to just put Bibles in hotel rooms? Because there are people who have never studied a thing about Christianity who have picked up a Bible and read it and been saved. There are people who have been facing all kinds of crises in their lives and have picked up a Bible and the Spirit of God has worked with them and suddenly they found an answer. And they didn't need a priest and they didn't need a preacher and they didn't need a teacher and they didn't need a degree and they didn't need a language and they didn't need a device. They just needed the Bible because the Bible in the end is clear. The Bible was written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who read it, seeking God's help and are willing to follow it. That's that work of the Spirit. If you are open, if you seek God's help, if you come in faith believing and let that Spirit work, if you are willing to follow what the Bible says, you don't need anything else in your life except the truth. And it's there in the Word. And we call that the clarity of Scripture. I hope today that you will really get excited about the clear, simple, God-breathed, inerrant, clear, and authoritative Word of God. And let it shape your life every day. Father, thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the simple clarity of Scripture, that we can read it, we can know it, we can believe it, and we can live it. We pray that we will, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.